Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Look at a scripture passage today that's found in the book of John, John chapter 17. John is in the New Testament, the fourth of four Gospels. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, if you're in Acts, back up just a little bit. And I find John 17 this morning as we are continuing in a summer sermon series where we are exploring together what we're calling prayers of Scripture, where we're looking at some of the actual little words that were being offered up to God in prayer. And then also at times we're looking at the prayers of Scripture, those individuals who are in specific contexts and situations that are being led to pray. And as we look at a combination of that together, it has been our hope throughout this summer that we are growing and developing and maturing in our own prayer life. And this week we are looking for the second time at a prayer of Jesus here in John 17. And again, Randy, thank you for praying for a blessing over our time. And since that prayer has already been offered, we're going to jump right into the scripture reading. And so please join with me, follow along as we read from these words of the book that we love. John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Amen. And whew, it's a lot, right? Jesus is very wordy, especially in this prayer, and especially in John's Gospel. If you look at John's Gospel and you compare the Jesus of John's Gospel to the Jesus we see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is succinct, he's to the point, he says what he needs to say, but in John's Gospel, I and them, and me and them, and glorify me, and I'll glorify you. I mean, it's wordy, very, very, very wordy. And this prayer is such a classic example of John's Gospel, of all the words of Jesus. And yet, despite all of that, this is still such an important prayer. It is probably one of the most important prayers in Scripture, where Jesus is praying. It's probably one of the most often quoted prayers that we have. And it's a prayer that is worth studying time and time again. In fact, that's what we're actually doing today. Did you know that we had a message on this prayer just 2 years ago? Nod your heads like you knew that, yeah? Right? I'm so confident this morning that every single one of you who are here back in 2021, I'm sure that you remember every point I made in that message, yes? Because we talked about Jesus. No? That's okay. We talked about the basics, right? Praise for protection and sanctification and unity. And but, you know, that's the great thing about Scripture, isn't it? Is that we can come to a Scripture passage again and again and again and again and again. And when we do so, the gift of Scripture is that maybe we're in a different context in our life, or maybe we are reading it through a different lens of what's going on, or maybe the Spirit just has something different for us to say, or just for us to realize. But when we look at the same Scripture passage over again, we can find something new. And the Spirit will reveal something new to us. And as we look at this passage this morning, there is something remarkable that is before me and that I am excited to share with you this morning. Something that catches my attention. And I would love for this to influence my prayer life. And I would love for it to influence your prayer life as well. So as we look at this prayer, this wordy prayer of Jesus, here's what I notice. I notice that Jesus prays for others. That's it. And now you can say, thank you, Captain Obvious, right? Do you want to say it, Barry? Thank you. I knew you would do that. Very good. Right? But it's almost so obvious that we are in danger of missing it. That as we look at all the words that Jesus prays here, He prays for others. He prays for others. And I'm not sure we should miss this, because when we look at this prayer, right, how many times does Jesus say they? He says they 18 times. He prays for they. And on top of that, Jesus prays almost, at least 25 times. If someone wants to count again, go ahead. But I think at least 25 times he says them. And you add on top of that, 5 times he prays for those, 1 time he prays for there. What we see in this passage is that Jesus prays for them. He prays for they. He prays for others. Whoever that might be. Whoever it might have been that was on his heart in that moment. Whether it was his disciples that had surrounded him in that upper room. Or for you and me, future believers who would come much, much later. Or maybe someone else altogether. What we see here in this passage is that Jesus' prayer is for them. And this simple observation provides a necessary challenge for me. And maybe it does for you as well. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers can get pretty navel-gazy, yes? You know what I'm talking about? That when I pray, I'm thinking about, here's the things that I need, and here's the things that I want, and God, here's the things that I'm celebrating, and here's the things that I'm concerned about, and here's the things that are about me, and all of a sudden my prayers become me, myself, and I. And what we find here is that Jesus' prayer is for them. This is the takeaway that I need from our passage this morning. And this is a practice that I need to more fully incorporate into my own prayer life. How about you? To pray for them. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to do something a little different than our norm. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at this prayer, and in the midst of this prayer, Jesus uses a phrase a couple of times, a phrase that goes, "they may." And every time we look at that, we find that Jesus is asking for something else. They may this, they may that. And we're going to look at those together, and we're going to look at what Jesus is saying here, and how we then can pray in the same way. And so we're going to talk about what Jesus is saying. And then what we're going to do here, Westview, is we're going to follow Jesus' example. We're going to pause, and we too will have an opportunity to pray for them, to pray for they. And I'll guide us through this. We're going to do this a couple of times this morning, and I'll guide us through it as we get there, okay? But start with me. You have your Bibles open yet? Start with me in verse 3, way at the beginning. In verse 3, Jesus says this. He says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So Jesus' prayer is that they may know God. And that they may know Himself. They want, Jesus, I pray that they would know me. Because Jesus knows that if we know the true God, and we know His Son Jesus, and we know who they are, and we know what they are about, and we know what Jesus is about, and what Jesus has done for us, that leads to eternal life. Can't get any bigger than that, can it? I mean, this is only the most important thing in all of the universe, eternal life. Jesus is praying that they would know that a loving, faithful God would so love this world that He would send His one and only Son to be the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus is praying that whoever believes in this Son would no longer succumb to the punishment of sin, but because of the mercy of forgiveness and because of the power of resurrection, whoever believes in this Son would have eternal life. That is what Jesus is praying for them. What an incredible thing to pray for. That they, whoever they is, that they would have an intimate knowledge of a loving Father and a knowledge of a redeeming Savior, that they would have eternal life. That's part of this prayer that Jesus prays for them. And it can be part of our prayer life as well. Because maybe we know that someone, or that someone, someone that we know, someone that we love, someone who in this moment does not know about God's love expressed in Jesus Christ. And that in this moment, right now, you and I, we can pray for our them as the Spirit is laying their hearts and their faces, their names and their faces upon our hearts in this very moment. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pause here in just a moment. I'm going to give us a moment of silence. And in this short moment of silence, I am going to invite you, I'm going to ask of you to do this, that in that moment of silence, you just silently lift their name or their names up to God, and that you pray for them as Jesus has prayed, that they would know God and they would know Jesus Christ. They would know the gift of eternal life. So in this short moment of silence, you're invited to pray. And then I'll wrap it up with a short prayer myself, and then we'll go on to the next part. Let us pray for them. Let's do that now. Lord, we ask that you would hear the names we have shared with you, and that you would open hearts that they might know you, know your goodness offered to all of us through Jesus Christ, that gift of eternal life. Amen. So jump with me now about 10 verses down to verse 13. Jesus says this. He says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Listen to the last part again. The full measure of my joy. In other words, it's another way of saying that the joy of Jesus may be made complete. Someone once told me a long time ago that happiness comes from happenings, but joy comes from Jesus. And I like that. I like the alliteration in that, but I also like the truth in that, right? Because we think about all the stuff that we gather, and we think about the relationships that we engage in, or we think about the awards or the recognition that we receive, or we think about the latest edition tech thing we just got, or the vacation, the relaxing vacation, a week at the beach, right? And all these things that we were about, and they make us happy. But what happens when the stuff that we accumulate begins to fall apart, or the relationship ends, or the applause ceases? What happens when the next edition of something comes out? Or what happens when the plane ride now is taking off from the week away at the beach, right? When the happiness that is found in those happenings then it's over. Happiness is found in happenings. But joy is different. Joy is this beautiful combination of gladness and delight and peace. And it is not based upon the roller coaster of circumstances that happen in life, but rather joy is based on the steadfast presence of Jesus in our lives. He says, my joy may be made full. It's been said, I just read this recently here, that there's to have immeasurable joy, to have that you have to live in intimate contact with Jesus. Because joy comes from Jesus. Jesus brings joy. Joy is not dependent upon all this life that swirls around us, but joy is found in that foundation that is Jesus Christ, the person and work of Him. And I wonder, do you know someone today that could use an infusion of Jesus' joy? That they are riding the bumpy waves of life, and they're up and down and up and down and up and down because they're basing their happiness in the happenings that are around them. And life, as we know, is a wild ride. And it would be our prayer for them this morning that they would find that settledness, that they would find that peace, they would find that rest that is found when we have our firm foundation on Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus does, He's praying that they would have the full measure of His joy within them. Let that be our prayer as now today. Right now today. So again, a short moment of silence as the Spirit is laying upon your hearts names and faces of those you would love to have and to be filled with the joy of Jesus. Would you lift those names up now and would you pray for our them? Let's do that now. Jesus, thank you that in you there can be steadfast joy. For with you, our life is not dependent on the things that happen around us. Our focus is not isn't upon the clamorings of this world, but we thank you that joy is found in you. And so we pray for those that we know and love, that they might be filled with the joy that comes from you. Amen. All right, jump down with me to the very end of that paragraph. Same paragraph. We're jumping down here what Jesus says in verse 19. Verse 19, for them I sanctify myself that they may be truly sanctified. And then add to that verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so three times there we have this word sanctify or sanctified, and that's from that word sanctification, and that's a big churchy word that we use. And the simplest way we can describe sanctification is this. It is the process of becoming like Jesus. It's becoming more and more like Jesus. That when we know Jesus and we have our joy in Jesus, we're in this process of becoming more and more. Our lives look more and more like Jesus. And so that means then we leave behind the sin and we rebuff the ways of this world that are not in keeping with Jesus. It's this work of orienting ourselves towards God and then walking down the path of Jesus in which we are looking like Him and living like Him and loving like Him. And I'm going to be very honest that sanctification, it is work. It is a process. It is a journey. And it is not one that happens from here to here. It happens from the moment we come to know Jesus all the way until we take our last breath. It is something that we work at. And often we wish, you know, and I wish we go for runs, and I wish that it would be nice and flat. I don't like hills. But there's hills around here. And sometimes when we're on that work of sanctification, we've got to go up the hill. We've got to go winding around. And sometimes we take three steps forward, and sometimes you take two steps back in the work of sanctification. It is hard work. And I'm going to be very honest with you, it's not even something we can do on our own. Sanctification only is possible by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. But we can encourage one another in the work of sanctification. I can use your encouragement in my own life to look more like Jesus Christ. I need your prayers for me because there are moments where I perhaps find myself facing a big hill or tempted to go off the road. And I would love your prayers for me that I could look more and more like Jesus every single day. So you can encourage me with your prayers, and I can encourage you with my prayers, and we can encourage one another with our prayers. As Jesus prays, let us be sanctified by God's Word, what God's Word says. And so we can encourage one another, and just as Jesus prays here, that they too may be sanctified, we too can pray for one another. And so who is that someone? Who is our them in this moment that we can be praying for, that they can become more and more like Jesus? Maybe take that little step forward, or maybe take that leap forward in looking and loving like Him. And maybe in our minds that means, well, I got to think of that someone who's struggling with that big sin, or that someone who's got that addiction, or someone who's got that vice that just holds them back. That may be. You might have someone in that situation, and by all means, yes, pray for them. But it also could be someone that you just want to say, I want to encourage that person in their walk with Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to do again this morning, we're just going to pause for a moment, and I would invite you to lift the name or the names of our them to God, asking that God would encourage them and support them, that the Spirit would be at work in their heart and their lives so they can look more and more like Jesus Christ. Let's do that now. Let's pray again together. Jesus, one time when you were speaking to your disciples, you invited them and all of us to be holy like God is holy. And that is our prayer for all those that we have just named before you today. May the Holy Spirit encourage and empower them to reflect the holy nature of God and to resemble you, Jesus, in their lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. The next part we're going to look at in this prayer is probably the most well-known part and probably the most quoted part. It's near the end typically, but it's where Jesus is praying that his followers would be united together. And in most of it's near the end, but he does pray earlier on in the prayers. He's praying for protection for those who follow him. He says this in verse 11. Check it out with me. Verse 11. He says, "Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And then jump to verse 21, that all of them may be one. And then the end of verse 22, that they may be one as we are one. And then the beginning of verse 23, may they be brought to complete unity. Over and over and over again, Jesus is praying that those, the them, who call upon Him, who follow Him, who are His disciples, He's praying that they would be united together by the shared bond that they have in Him. That as He and the Father are one, as they are in one another, Jesus is praying for the same for those who follow Him. That what they have in common, that is Jesus Christ, would make them one and allow them to overcome all of these earthly and trivial differences that try to divide His people. Have you ever heard before that phrase, blood is thicker than water? You've heard that before? And we know what that means, right? It's this reference that the relationships and the loyalties we have as a family are stronger than anything else, are the most important, yes? Friends, that applies here as well. Because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that unites us as a family. And that blood of Jesus Christ creates a bond, creates a loyalty between us as brothers and sisters that is so much greater than any differences of opinion that we might have. And it is so much greater than any preferences that we might disagree upon. See, the blood of Jesus Christ creates a bond within us as brothers and sisters that is so much more than any differences we have in our political leanings, so much more than the different thoughts we have around social or theological topics. It's so much more than even the weight that we give our own personal experiences. The blood of Jesus Christ unites us together as one, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ, even here at Westview, where we might have 1,001 different thoughts about any number of things. The reality is that each one of us has our feet rooted in the same spot, and that is the grace of Jesus Christ. And so no matter what we think and no matter where our hearts go, we are the same. We are united together by that blood of Jesus. Our foundation, our identity is Jesus Christ. And Jesus prays for them. He prays for the they. He prays for His disciples that they would focus on what unites them rather than what divides them. And you don't need me up here this morning blabbing away to tell you that we need that prayer more than ever today, do we not? I mean, it's so easy for us to have all the other things get in our way rather than focus on that which unites us, and that's Jesus. And so we're going to take a moment, and we're going to pray for the church, whether that's the Big C Church for you, or whether that's Westview Church, or maybe it's a brother or a sister in Christ that we have sensed a divisive spirit within. We're going to pray. Because the church, too, needs a regular reminder that our focus is to be on what unites us. And so let's do that now. Lift up the church, Westview Church, a name to God, and pray for them that we would be one as Jesus calls us to be. Let's pray about that together in a moment of silence. Jesus, in the midst of the multiple opinions and topics under the sun that so often divide us, let us keep our focus on You who was there when the sun first shone bright, the One through whom all things were made. Let our relationships be marked by the firm foundation that unites us, and that's our shared hope in You. Amen. We're going to stay right in this area for one more glimpse of what Jesus is praying for here. When He uses that phrase, not so much they may, but this time may they. And if you're in verse 23, we started there a moment ago. We're going to finish the phrase that Jesus started. So look at verse 23 with me. He says this. He says, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And the very same sentiments are applied here in verse 21. So jump up just a little bit. He says, may they also be in us so that the world may believe you have sent me. There's this witness aspect to what Jesus is praying for here. That he desires, as he says later in verse 26, that the love of God that is filling us, that this love of God would then go from us into this world and would witness to the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. That the world might know, that the world might believe. And so Jesus is praying for this witness. The witness of his people in this world. That in their relationships with each other, that in their relationships with him, it is all to let the world know. And so who is that person, who is that someone that we can pray for today, that we can pray for their witness, that we can pray that they would be bold and courageous, that we can pray that they would only and always point others to Jesus Christ. Maybe we want to pray for a family member, maybe we want to pray for a friend, maybe for a church leader, or maybe for a missionary across the globe, but who can we pray for today that the love that God has given to them can flow out of them to let the world know? Let's take one more time. We're going to pray in silence. Lift those names up to God. Let us pray for them. Let's do that now. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to be a co-laborer with you in the work of the kingdom. And we pray for strength and for wisdom. We pray for courage and passion for all who seek to point people to you. May the witness of your people, whether it's here in this space or there across this community or everywhere around this globe, may the witness of your people be faithful and true. Amen. You know, it's such an obvious thing in this John 17 prayer of Jesus that he prays for others. And it's almost too obvious, right? That we almost miss it. But if there's anything that is clear in John 17, it is that Jesus prays for others. He prays for they. He prays for them. He prays for you and for me. And Westview, what an honor it is and what a privilege it is for us to be able to pray beyond ourselves and to pray for each other, to pray for the theys and the thems that are in our own life. Those that the Lord lays upon our hearts, that we lift them up in prayer, that we pray for them as Jesus has given this example. And whether it is someone that we know well, whether it's an acquaintance, whether it's just someone we know by name or by face or even reputation, Jesus is inviting us to pray for each other, to pray for them. May it be so. Amen. Please pray with me. God, we are so grateful this morning for the witness and the example of Jesus. Thank you that in all the words that he shares here, we can see again and again how his heart is to pray for others and to even imagine all that was going through his own heart and his own mind as he is so close to the betrayal and the arrest and the crucifixion, and yet he spends all of these words and all of this time praying for others, praying for thems and theys, praying for us. God, as we have been led this morning by this prayer, may that continue to be true in our hearts and our lives, that in our own prayer lives we would get out of our own way. We would not just look at the person in the mirror, but we would look at the person in front of us or beside us. People who we're living life together with. People who are a part of this community with us. People that maybe we have not ever truly seen. May we pray for them. May we pray for each one of them. Allow this to be a part of our prayer life. Help us to grow in this, God, we pray, that we can pray for them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.